Thank you for tuning in to Diaries of a Dom, plus questions answered with me, Chastity Queen. And today I have my lovely slave, CQ's Bunny, here to join me in a discussion about our cuckold experience, the second experience. So this will be super duper exciting. But before we begin, be sure to check out my affiliations. I've got affiliates with LockedInLust.com. You can use the promo code ChastityQueen, all caps, for 10% off anything at their website. And if you go to loveshop.ca, you can get 15% off of anything at their site as well. Lots of sex toys, lots of lingerie, wonderful things for sissies, nylons, etc. So go there and you can use promo code ChastityQueen for your 15% off discount. And today we're going to carry on and discuss our cuckold situation. So I guess I'll talk to you, Bunny.
Okay, my queen.
So this was on, I got together with my bull on, was it a Thursday?
Yeah, last Thursday.
Yeah. And he booked the room. So he booked a nice hotel at the Hilton and in town here, somewhere close for me, so I didn't have to do any travel. And we had the evening basically from 6 o'clock at night into the morning. About, I think checkout was 12 that day. So you were left at home, weren't you?
I was, my queen.
And we did talk about this, negotiate this quite heavily. In the first episode that we, or experience, I guess you could call it, that we had, we had booked the room and he had come in for a few hours, right?
Yes. Yeah, he came in for, I think, what was it, 3-4 hours maybe? Yeah,
I think it was about 4 hours. And initially it was just going to be maybe a couple of hours of foot worship and we were going to leave it at that, but it turned into 4 hours and you were in the bed next to us all tied up and blindfolded and... It was great, wasn't it?
Oh, it was wonderful, my queen.
Yes, and it was the first time I had ever given my bull a blowjob. So that was quite monumental at that juncture.
Oh, that just, that was amazing.
Yeah, and I didn't expect it. Like, I wasn't, he didn't, my bull didn't ask me to do it. He didn't suggest it. He just was okay with me doing whatever I wanted, and it kind of morphed into, I think that's what's going to happen in my mind, and I made it happen, so it was fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So since then we decided, okay, my bull suggested to me that we do a one-on-one session just so that we could connect a little closer without having all eyes on us, basically. Right?
Yeah.
So I hummed and hawed on that, and I said, well, I'm going to have to talk to my slave because I believe transparency is very important in relationships.
Yeah. Then you brought it up to me, and I was just like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. You should just, yeah, do it.
Yeah, and he was being respectful. He said, you don't have to. It's just a suggestion. And so I got the green light from Bunny, and of course, I was still a little apprehensive myself because my initial understanding would be that it would be the three of us at all times.
Yeah, but in this case, we kind of had, like we've said before, we kind of, it's like we have to take into account a third person, like in their feelings. And yeah, for him, it was to be more comfortable with the situation.
Yes.
And yeah, and I was willing to do that. I mean, yeah, obviously it was outside what we originally negotiated, but we had to improvise in that situation.
Yeah. Least, so. Yeah. Sometimes things evolve, right?
Yeah.
So it was good for him too, because I get to see Bunny every single day being that he's my live-in. And then this bull, you know, I'll see him maybe once a month, and that's not a lot of time to see or connect with a person. And you don't want it to be just completely cold, a cold situation where you just come in, fuck, and go.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that kind of thing exists, of course.
Yeah, you're just not that type of person.
But, well, I'm not that type, and I don't think that he is either. I call him Miguel, so Miguel's not that type of person, and he's younger, too. He's just, he's not 30, not even 30 yet, but he's starting his life, and he's gone to school, and he is focused on his career and gaining that kind of, you know, life experience. So getting into a relationship isn't really on his radar. And he did say to me that the young women who he could engage with, just they're just not enjoyable to engage with.
Yeah. I mean,
it's hard because he loves feet. He loves when I have my socks really well worn, and he enjoys just enjoys smelling them. And that's just part of his fetish. Like, he just loves that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he had a girlfriend that he never broached that subject with. I asked him at the hotel. I said, did you ever ask her, you know, if she would engage? And he said, no. And then we got talking about the young women of this generation. And he said that they can be very mean and very degrading. You know, like, they, if you mention, oh, well, I like to smell socks, and it's a turnoff for them, then they're quick to, you know, post on social media, or they're quick to talk to their girlfriend group and spread the gossip that, oh, did you know Miguel loves smelling dirty socks or loves to kiss feet? And if that's something that's kind of a turnoff in that friend group, or they think it's weird because they're just not mature yet to understand that everybody has different fetishes, then that can be a very exclusionary experience for a person.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how, and again, this is like the younger generation, like Gen Z, is it? Yeah, anyway. And it's like, it's funny how they go on and on and on about tolerance, and then all of a sudden it's like, once it's a tolerant or something that they don't understand, it's like intolerant.
Well, it's more like when it's in their world.
Yeah.
And they don't want it, they won't accept it.
Yeah.
You know, and yet from a distance behind the telephone or behind the computer screen, they can talk the big talk about, you know, inclusivity and loving one another and LGBTQ 2+, you know, all that stuff. Black Lives Matter, all of the things that are really important, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But when you bring it into their own world, there seems to be a somewhat of a hypocrisy when it comes to acceptance of, you know, somebody's fetish. Right?
Yeah. Hey. It's, yeah.
I know a few women that are younger, you know, in their 20s. And while they are very open-minded, they're vegan, they're open-minded, they've seen, you know, the BDSM interactions between people. For themselves, it's a turnoff. And it's something that they just won't embrace, and they don't embrace. And I don't know if it's more of a male thing or a female thing.
Again, it's all like, it's all experience and upbringing, right? I mean,
I don't know. I think that men tend to be a little bit more open-minded to fantasies, fetishes, things like that. They're more open-minded to things that are hot and sexual and maybe outside of the box because it's exciting. Whereas women, and I mean, I don't want to pigeonhole anybody, of course, but because there's a lot of open-minded women out there, I'm one of them. But I do know myself as a younger adult, and you know, yeah, I came from a cult, and of course I had that on my monkey on my back too, right? So certain things were just taboo because I was brought up that way, and that was a sin, you know. So it was like, oh God, what's that? You know, it's some sort of evil thing. But, you know, even in my own sexual relationship, it was certain acts were, if they were even brought up, I'd think, well, what the hell, right? And then I would reflect, well, why does he want to do that? Why does he want to do this? Like, am I not good enough? Or, ooh, that's weird. And so I'm at fault for that when I was younger. And I can blame it on the cult, definitely, to a big degree.
Well, for sure. Like I said, it's all about, in a lot of ways, it's a lot about upbringing, too. I mean,
yeah, and even though it was a very homophobic cult, I wasn't so much that. I wasn't, even though I couldn't verbalize it out to people, I just felt like love is love, you know.
Yeah, you didn't see any actual issue with
it. No, I didn't see anything wrong with that, you know, and it was hard to keep my mouth shut a lot of times, say anything, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if that's something you feel strongly against, yeah, and you know everyone's against you, it is hard to bring it up.
Yeah, yeah, especially when you've got the Bible as the backing to that ideology, right?
Yeah.
The idiotic ideology. So, but I think that what happens is with girls, they can get into these cliques, these groups, and if there is there's usually a hierarchy in a friend group in girls, okay? So, for example, I knew a lot of friend groups, and I actually was pretty much the leader of one of my friend groups, and there is always usually the most dominant of the girl friend group, and what she says goes, and the other ones are kind of looking to her for, well, what are we going to do next? Well, what are we doing for entertainment? Are we going to go to the dance club? Are we going to go to, you know, dinner or something? And there's always that sort of social butterfly, the one who's outgoing and willing to make the plans, so that, you know, these girls who usually would sit home and read or watch TV actually get up off their asses and go dancing or something. And I was that one, right? But even in the cult, I'd be taking all my girlfriends who were kind of sideline, and we'd be going to art, you know, art studios and going for tours through art museums, or we'd go to out for dinner with a bunch of friend groups and, of course, all the people in the cult. And then as things got more distant for me in the cult, there was a collective of people kind of on the outskirts of the cult that would join me for, you know, dance evenings at dance clubs. And they would just excuse it away as, well, you know, she's got her husband there, he's watching us. So it's just a group of us girls going out and dancing, which we would have, if we got caught, we would have all been reprimanded and or probably excommunicated. So we were playing with fire big time. But what I'm trying to get at is, you know, in high school, for example, you know, you've got the mean girl group.
Yeah.
There's always a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the followers.
Yeah.
And if the leader says, oh, that guy likes to smell feet, that's gross, the other girls don't dare go against her. Yeah. Because they're out of the group.
Yeah. I mean, you have, for guys, it's almost, it's similar.
Really?
But not, I mean, almost not to that extent where you like, where someone gets completely blackballed just because someone, there's like a.
Or degraded.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. It does happen with guys too. I mean, there's the hierarchy. I mean, you have your alpha. The alpha male usually, yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but as far as degrading men, it's, I think it's something that women, it comes naturally to them. And if you fall outside of the box just a little bit.
Yeah, for guys, it's more of done in a joking matter. Like, yeah. We basically poke fun at each other, and it's a good laugh. We don't don't take it seriously.
You don't take it too far.
We don't take it seriously. We're like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's like, yeah, go fuck your face or whatever.
But girls take it to a new level sometimes.
Yeah, there is that certain level of like intent, I would call it.
They get off on degrading somebody. The minute they find out something about somebody, they run with it and they gossip and they talk about it. And that's what Miguel was saying, that
yes,
he feared telling because then the gossip would start, you know, and then everybody would know and he'd feel like, you know, embarrassed in public and in front of his friend group, in front of his family.
Yeah, it's totally understandable, especially, considering he is of that younger
group.
I mean, it starts going down once you get out of high school. Like, I mean, it's almost like an immediate, like, it's not as cool as it used to be a gossip and know everything about everyone.
No, but I will say a lot of men prefer more mature women because they're past all of that bullshit.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, when you get out of, especially if you're not like part of the popular groups as a guy, and you just, you're never really included in that. It's just like you don't care to be a part of it at all, especially outside of high school.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about a lot of men enjoy older women because.
Yeah, and I'm trying to say why that is.
Oh, okay.
Because again, girls have a tendency to get out of that like later, in a sense, like in their 20s, they'll still be kind of like that. And
yeah, it depends on the personality.
Depends on the personality again. Yeah. I mean, like I said,
I think that the draw to, you know, I mean, I've known Miguel I've known him longer than I've known you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We talked about that. I've known him for about 8 years.
Oh, wow.
And, at that point, it was just foot stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
And that's it. And I would give him, you know, support and advice or whatever as a young adult, you know, and he did. He stuck with it. He went to school, got his schooling. Now he's hired onto a job that's, you know, enabling him to use his skills. And he's growing into quite a mature man.
Yeah.
But he's always found trust, safety, and respect in our relationship, you know, initially just as a foot goddess and a foot boy kind of deal. And I think there's a lot of safety in the whole, you know, MILF, cougar woman, because she's there for a reason. She's there to, you know, maybe have foot worship or just to have a fuck boy to fuck with, but she doesn't really want to inject herself into his life. It happens with some. I mean, some of the guys, they're cool with that, you know, her getting more deeply involved in their life, but in most cases, not, right?
Yeah.
So I was somebody who was mature and respected him, didn't shame him, still don't shame him.
No.
And I'm actually escalating the fetish more so in that I have to exercise a lot more now, don't I?
Well,
with my health, right?
Yeah.
Just my blood sugar, and that's kind of shitty. So I'm off of sugar, and my doctor says you got to exercise certain number of hours a week and this and that. So I'm taking full advantage of that and wearing socks in my runners and getting them nice and sweaty.
Getting some stockpiled socks, smelly socks.
Yeah.
For Miguel.
And so the night we went over to, he went over to the hotel first, got it set up. He got it, brought his TV and everything because he's got tons of movies. So he had that all set up. And of course, you know, the TVs at hotels don't have all the fancy plugins and that you need. So he brought his TV, which was great. And got that kind of set up for a fun evening of movies and play and all that. and, you know, something to eat. And, but when I did start doing some play with him, I took my feet out of my running shoes and I put my socks on his face. And he just said, "It's better than my boots." Literally.
Nice.
Because, you know, I had a pair of boots that I always wore for him.
Yeah.
And after many, many sessions, I ended up gifting them to him because they had my smell in them. And it's a good way to keep the fetish going after the scene, right?
Yeah.
And then he contributed to pay for a new pair of boots. And I bought those boots and started getting them worked in and sweated in and that. But it's nothing like an exercise shoe with a sock in it.
No.
You know, for my exercise, I keep the same socks.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense for that. Because, I mean, like, he likes that, so.
Turns them on, makes them hard immediately.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's carry on with this. When I left, you had a uniform you had to wear.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the listeners what you had to wear?
So you picked out a little outfit for me to wear. Of course, I was wearing it under my clothes.
Yeah.
But you picked out a a crotchless pink panties.
Yep.
And the matching
with ties at the side and ribbon.
Ribbon ties at the side.
Love that look.
Yes. And they're lace too, so they're
see-through.
So, yeah, so I mean, the fact they're crotchless is just kind of a, you know.
Yeah, and you're in chastity, so it works beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, it works great. And then, let's see, the top, matching top, part of the set is a, it's, I wouldn't call it cupless, but it is like, but it has like a slit going up them so you can expose the nipples, and my nipples line up perfectly with those slits. So
it was perfect.
And then the final piece was the butt plug you had me wear.
Yes. Yeah. So he had to wear that as long as he could. With, of course, he's in chastity for forever. Let's just say that.
Might as well be. I mean,
yeah, eventually, right?
I mean, it is. It's pretty much forever because I don't think we're ever going to give up chastity. I can't see it happening.
I mean, we capped it at just over 5 years, and we will renegotiate at that point and see where we're at, right? But in the trajectory that we have progressed in, I'd say you do enjoy cuckolding, right? Do you?
Oh, I love it. I mean, like I said, I fantasized about it, but then when we finally discussed it, it's like, okay, now it's actually going to happen. And
yeah.
And I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. And so let's carry on talking. So you had your outfit, you had on your butt plug, your chastity device, and I said to you I'd probably FaceTime you or something later in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was I got there. We chatted for a bit and, you know, talked about, like I said, about women and why they are turned off by, you know, men telling them their secret fetishes. And I think that's a big problem in relationships.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's that whole thing of like, it kind of, in a way, it is like kind of a passive kink shaming. I mean,
yeah, when you don't understand something and then you make a judgment upon that misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Or an assumption that it's, oh, that's dirty, or it's this or that, then you are shaming the person who's opening up to you about it.
Yeah, because it's not easy. But, no. It really isn't easy at all. I mean.
But I will say this much. You know, sometimes the woman already knows.
Yeah. I guess that makes it easier if she already knows, and then.
But a lot of times a woman won't let them know that you know because they want you to broach subject.
Yeah.
Right? Like I told Miguel, I said, you know, we were part of, you and I were part of a podcast called the Kinky Cocktail Hour.
Yeah.
Right. And so I did one on my own, and then Bunny was invited to do one.
Yeah.
And I had sort of suspected that he had this fetish.
Yeah. So I always thought it was weird. And again, I haven't even listened to the episode because I felt so awkward doing it.
Why?
I don't know. It's just like I didn't really quite know how to answer a lot of the questions on it. I didn't really.
Yeah, but you did. He did ask you this question. He said,
yeah,
if your queen wanted to explore with other men, would you be willing to do that as a cuck? And as I recall, you said, yes, if that's what she wanted to do, I would.
Yeah.
Right? And I had actually given him that question to ask you.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Because I sense that you did.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I think before that we had that one situation when you were still pro-doming and you did a session, and I think I was at work that night. And then when I came home and we were playing or something, you kind of like really blatantly brought it up.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you got all serious, right? And you're like, you said to me, are you serious about this? Do you really want to do this?
Well, yeah, I was like, are you sure?
And then I'm like, you know, how would you feel about it? So, you know, there are roundabout ways that you can ask questions and kind of get to flesh it out. At the same time, I thought, you know, I know that's something he would probably do, but I want him to bring that to me.
Yeah. And so, then finally we did have our discussion in this past summer.
Because I wasn't in any hurry.
Yeah, no.
Right? I was happy the way I was.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there is this opportunity, this door that we could walk through together. But you have to do it at the right time.
Yeah. And I totally agree because I think if it was like something that happened like 2 years ago or something, I don't think I don't think I would have been ready.
No.
For it. Because I still had too many, there was still too much baggage and stuff from.
Yeah. And that probably caused a lot of our arguments too.
Could have been. Yeah. I mean, and I know you had your, I mean, I can't really say, but I know you had your hang-ups about it, for sure.
Well, you know, I had already experienced finding out from my partner that he would like to see me with other men.
Yeah, I know.
Not in a cuckold kind of a situation, a little bit different scenario in that he is dominant, so he wanted me to find a play partner or two or whatever, and he would watch, and then he would basically take me back.
Yeah, the hot wife reclamation.
Yeah, reclamation thing. Deal, yeah. Right? And yeah. So that took me a bit to wrap my head around, but I was still in the cult too, so it was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed it, but when we first met, you still had quite a bit of it in you. I mean, we've been, like, we've worked on it a lot, I mean.
Yeah, you've helped me open up a lot.
Yeah.
Right? But with my background, and I said this even to Miguel that night at the hotel, I said, you know, I know he comes from a more traditional family background. And I said to him, you know, I am really more so traditional too. I'm not the type of person who could just go into a sex club, spread my legs and say, okay, come on, enjoy while Bunny watches.
Yeah.
Right. That's just not me.
No.
And I mean, Miguel said, well, men are pigs, you know, like that. You just don't want to do that. Right. I think he was afraid, you know, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's not me. But, it's true. He says, like, you know, if you go into locker rooms, you realize just how piggish and dirty sometimes men can be. Doesn't mean all of them.
No.
But I always did connect more with the people that would come to see me as a pro dom that were germaphobes.
Yeah.
I respected them. I know it sounds strange, right? But it makes sense too, because I think that when you respect your own body and you respect your environment and you have a clean home or a clean bedroom and you're presenting respectfully with your body or your mind, you know, your soul, it does. It's about more than just the exterior. It means inside, in your mind, in your body, how you live, what your standard of living is, what your personal standards are, what your morals are. You know, morals are a difficult subject to kind of talk about because it can go one way or another, right? But in general, people that care about how they look, smell, and how they live are people you can usually trust with sexual engagement.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want to engage in something that is dirty and debauched and... You know, I'm not talking a sexual way. I'm talking about, you know, you go to some dungeons, and I've seen them.
Yeah.
And I would not have a session in. I would not be a slave or a submissive and go in and willingly
yeah.
pay $200, $300, $400, $500 to a dom who has a facility that is dirty. Dust. Yeah. I'm talking dust, anything like yeah. that, you know? So, but, and that's why I think I chose Miguel, because he had proven himself over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And hey, he loves smelly socks, but he had a towel on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So when I took my shoes off, my socks were on a towel.
Yep.
Right. Because that hotel room carpet.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't want to engage with my socks after they've touched that carpet.
Well, he doesn't want to engage that hotel floor.
Well, that's what I'm saying, which can transfer onto those socks as dirty as they may look or smell.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. They were just in my running shoes. That's it. And I am a clean person. Yeah. So, yeah. And I think that's important for people to remember that, you know, if you take care of your environment, you take care of yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you can feel safer and have a lot more fun when you do decide to experiment in these other places.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, and you're doing it safely too, right? I mean, you're taking, you're not just going out, as you say, going out to a sex club and, you know, having a roll of the dice before you have a roll on the sheets, right?
It pretty much is a roll of the dice. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. I've been to sex clubs, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying I was in there having sex with a bunch of people or on many occasions, but I was an observer.
Yeah.
And I did partake once, but it was highly negotiated, pre-negotiated.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to them online first, met them, and rejected a couple.
Yeah.
When I finally saw them rejected. You know, but that was way back when. And
yeah.
And of course, afterwards, you do all the proper testing. You make sure you're still safe. You use those extra steps, you know, to feel mentally okay about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we are responsible for our body.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And what we do with our body can detrimentally affect or positively affect somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so let's carry on. So, he absolutely loved my socks. It got him rock hard.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely loved it. So, we set up the tripod. We did some video footage of that.
Uh-huh.
And with me laying on a pillow and putting my feet in his face and all that. And we weren't sure if we were going to actually have sex.
Yeah, you said it was a possibility, but... You know, it might not happen.
There is no guarantee. Like,
yeah, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with Miguel not being attractive. He's extremely attractive, right?
Yeah.
He's got a wonderful body. He's got an amazing cock. He's got a great personality. He's so relaxed. The energy in the hotel rooms is just so chill. You know, I was nervous. He was nervous. But there was a lot of relaxed energy.
Mm-hmm, that helps.
I felt comfortable.
Oh, for sure. Then that helps big time, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to perform when you're nervous. Right?
Well, and the thing is, too, like, I mean, I've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
But even if I had decided, you know what, it's just not for us. We're not going to do this. I don't think it's going to work out. Then I would not have gone through the motions, so to speak.
Yeah. And I mean, again, that's something we totally discussed and we thought it was, and it was like, okay, it's totally acceptable if it goes either way. I mean.
Yeah, as a cuck, you were prepared for the fact that, you know, you were excited I was there.
Oh, yeah.
And you wanted it to happen.
Yeah.
But was it going to happen? Well, that was under my control.
Yeah. And again, it was like, if it happened or not, it wasn't going to, like, ruin my night or anything.
Of course not.
It was just like, okay, yeah, it just means if it did happen, I mean, and it did.
Yes.
You sent me the video.
I know. So, yeah, so we decided the foot worship was wonderful. Okay. He was excited. And then we decided, okay, I'm going to blindfold you. Because I find I like to have control over somebody when they're blindfolded, especially in a sexual experience. It's something that I have full knowledge of what's happening.
Yeah.
And the person underneath me is just along for the ride. Literally.
Literally.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
So I teased him a little bit, and he was nervous, of course. I mean, that's to be expected first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got excited and he started smelling my socks and that, then I took full advantage of his huge cock. I never did measure it. I wanted to measure it. I wonder how long it is. It seems like it's 7 or 8 inches, maybe.
That's what I would call it. I mean, I never actually see it. I'm just judging by pictures.
It's pretty big.
I mean, so yeah, because the last, when I was actually there, I was blindfolded, so I couldn't see a thing.
No, so you've just seen pictures, but I'd say probably when he's really excited, rock hard excited and fully erect, I'd say he's probably 8 inches. I will measure it next time, right?
Yeah.
But regardless, it's big, like it's long, but it's also, the girth is nice.
It's long and thick.
Long and thick, but it's not too thick.
Yeah.
So it's just perfect. Yeah. So I rode him like crazy. And then, of course, with a condom, and I pulled the condom out to look at it because I knew there was a lot of cum in it. And I looked and there was a little bit of blood and I'm like, oh, well, I think I got my period, right?
Yeah.
Turns out I didn't get my period. I came home and I didn't get my period. He was just too big. That's all. Not too big. He was, I don't know what the word is. He was so big and I was so aggressive on top of him that I just, you know, caused a little bit of, just a little bit, not a lot, a little bit of pinkish blood there.
He rode him like a dirt bike.
Pretty much. I rode him like a dirt bike. And, I told him, I said, I think I got my period. So we just, at that point, we decided, okay, it's movies and dinner and that for the rest of the night, which turned out well.
Yeah.
But
you had other plans, but you thought,
oh man, did I ever.
And again, that would have been awesome, but yeah, whatever, it happened. You know, you think, oh, it started, I can't.
Oh yeah, I thought, I don't want to continue, right? If I've got my period, it's just not my gig. I'm not into it, you know, into doing sex with my period, but.
But I mean, you sent me the video.
I got what I wanted, and you got the video.
You sent me the video.
So you're in the room.
Yeah.
Down to your little two-piece lingerie.
Yep.
Watching the video, and how was it?
Oh, God, it was amazing. It
really?
Was like, yeah, it's like my...
Because I told you could edge a little bit.
Oh, I definitely did.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
I mean, I just watched the video and then kind of just...
Touched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just kind of like kept on
psychologically going over and over again in your head.
Yeah. And I mean, my cage was just tight. And, oh my God. It was.
That's great.
Took me a while to get to calm down from that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
One thing that I got from the whole experience was that it is, you know, the cuck and cuckoldress and bull scene is something that a lot of people fantasize about, right?
Yeah.
But to take that fantasy and turn it into reality is a huge jump.
Yeah, it is. I mean, to go over it, like we said it before, and it's like, yeah, you got to take into a third person, which again, that just complicates
yes.
things. I mean, a BDSM relationship is already pretty complex. Like,
and you do have to take into consideration the fact that it's not just the two of us. Like, we aren't here to use Miguel as our fetish tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, that's not cool.
Yeah. And that's always the way I approached it, too. I was just like, well, I mean, we have to take into, like, even before we nailed down who was going to be there or who it was going to be, it was like, yeah, we have to take their feelings and circumstances into account, too. I mean, it's
absolutely. And that's why you thought, well, you know what? That's cool. If he wants to have a night with my queen,
yeah,
then, you know, I'll put my feelings aside.
Well, again, it's a modification of the cuck thing. I mean, I was just, you're going on the date and I was the waiting cuck, basically.
Instead of like the
present cuck.
And that's actually quite common.
It is a common thing. Like, yeah, the cuckoldress goes on her date and comes home and
even on a vacation, some go on vacations with their bull.
Yeah.
And then they're slaves at home and they have tasks. They have to finish certain things. They have to, you know, whatever, build a fence or there could be all sorts of little honeydew, you know, lists that they have to engage in and have finished when she gets back.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she's sending like the pictures and the videos and.
Yeah. So she's engaging in massive tease and denial.
Yes.
With her sub or slave while she's off having fun and being pampered.
Yes.
Which is really the ultimate for a slave. They want their queen to be pleased.
Yeah.
Right? So, and you're getting something out of it.
Oh, yeah.
The bull gets something out of it, and I get something out of it. So there, it's mutually satisfying.
Yeah.
But if you go into it where, you know, there's nothing for the bull. He's just used as a dick for their pleasure, then I think that's very unfair.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty shallow relationship. And yeah, usually, and it happens. And it's usually those ones don't last long.
They don't last.
But I mean, that's for the, that, I mean, again, that's the type of personalities too. And like some people do that.
Well, and you know what? I'll tell you. Like you say, it depends on personalities, but it also depends on what you're negotiating. It depends on, you know, what you're looking for. And if you're looking for a quick fix, and that's the type of dynamic you have where you're cool with your partner having multiples and you're going to be the cuck watching in chastity, then go for it. I mean, there's many ways to do that. Just be safe, you know, wear protection, get tested, all that. But I don't want to be in a situation where I'm constantly having to get tested.
No. Because, again, you think about that kind of, you think about the guy who's going to be okay with that kind of, like, no strings attached thing.
Yeah.
He's going to be basically a slutty dude.
Well, he'll be a man whore.
A player.
Yeah, and I just didn't want a player.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's got me and a handful of other women on his roster.
Yeah.
For example,
he goes to the club or the bar or something and he picks up someone there. I mean, yeah.
Right. And so the danger of contracting something even orally, like if you do want to kiss somebody, you know, it's risky, right? It's a risk.
Yeah.
And some people get a thrill out of the risk. So, you know, more power to them, but it's just not my way of.
It's funny. I think a lot of people don't really think about the risk.
Yeah. They get too horny and they just think about what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so important to really take yourself, and make yourself a priority.
Yeah.
And when you do the same with your partners, you know, your cuck partner and your bull partner, and you take deep consideration into their good health and their happiness, then it could be a very rich experience. It's not shallow, you know, and you can grow. You can grow into a nice trifecta.
Yeah.
But, and that's maybe not the thing for some people. They like a lot of variety.
Yeah.
And, you know, they use their own methods to sort it out. But so basically, yeah, that's our story. We had our first. Oh, you want to say something else?
Well, I mean, this is that, I mean, that's kind of the middle part too. I mean, you're going off. That's the middle part. We started this, I think, earlier in the day.
Oh, I forgot about the daytime play.
Cause you, cause we had a thing where you unlocked me.
Yeah.
You put me in,
before I went to the hotel.
Before you went to the hotel.
Yeah.
You unlocked me. You put me in in the spike ball crusher.
Yep.
And then you, teased and denied me.
Yeah. Did some CBT.
Did some CBT and TND.
Oh, totally. And then I locked you back up.
Then you locked me back.
And it was really exciting for me.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good way to prime me and get excited for my time with somebody who I've not had a lot of intimate moments with, right?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to get into that headspace when you don't have that fluidity, you know, and it's like a dance partner. When you have a dance for the first time, it's sort of awkward and unusual and new and even the second, third time, but then you start to get into a rhythm, right? But I hadn't hit that rhythm yet, so.
Yeah, because again, it's like that was literally the second time.
Yeah, I mean, I'd seen him for years with foot, and that was comfortable. And we have that rapport, so it's not like it's not there. Mm-hmm. But to take it to the next level is where it gets, you know, it gets nerve-wracking at times.
Yeah.
Even for a dom.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You think, oh, well, she's dominant. She shouldn't have a problem with it. She's a queen. Well, yeah, that's true. But it's still, I'm still human.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I still have those things I've got to work through just like anybody else. And, you know, I could have bailed out.
Yeah.
In a way. And I kind of wasn't feeling good and I kind of tried to a little bit. And then Miguel just said, well, I can't, you know, I'm going to lose the deposit on the hotel and that. And I thought, I'll just do this, right?
Let's just do it.
Yeah. Like I wasn't feeling good. And I thought, well, maybe I'll be more optimal position in a month from now. Can we do that? And so my hand was kind of held to the fire in a way, but it was good. It was because I was able to get over that hump.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that I didn't want to go and do that. It just, I hadn't been feeling good. And I thought,
no, exactly.
Right. But then to sprinkle in a little bit of tease and denial for you and knowing that you were excited and then putting you in your outfit, knowing I'm going to send pictures and interact with you from a distance made it more of a thrill for me.
Yeah.
So going through and seeing it through was worth it.
Yeah. Oh, and then it continued into the next day.
It did, yeah.
Because, you got home.
Yes.
Yes, we had planned on doing some pegging.
Yes, and then I made you suck my...
Yes, you made me suck your strap on like a slut.
It was great. I took a video. Great.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. So I think that'll be the routine is that, you know... Usually you'll be with me anyway, so that's fine. But if there's another case where I go for overnight with him, then we'll do something similar where we do tease and denial, get you excited, back in your cage, plug you, give you a new outfit, something new I'll pick, random, and repeat this because it seemed to really work well.
Oh, it was, it just turned it up, right?
It turned it up a notch. You don't want to just sort of go and say bye and then come back the next day. You can.
Yeah.
But when you turn it into more of a game, right? Then it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. And I, again, I just remembered you also had me shave your pussy before, too.
I did. I had you prepare me. Yes. Yep. So that I had a nice prepared, you know, hair-free vagina. Yeah, that was good. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So overall, I'd say it was a 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Absolutely 10 out of 10. I think I got a little vigorous on him. I was too excited. But I wanted to get on top. And so I did what I did. And I'm not, I mean, I didn't suffer for it. I mean,
no,
no big deal. But next time, I think we're going to engage with some dildos and some play like that first. So I hope you enjoyed our experience, our second experience of cuckoldry and the queen and the chaste and the bull and all of that and all of our chit chat in between about different things, variety of things. And I also don't want to peg women as being all, you know, mean or degrading. It's not the case. It's just when it comes to sharing your fetish, sharing your desires, it can be very dicey at times.
Yeah.
And you do have to be cautious about who you share that information with.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I understand why some men do hold back. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But remember, if your partner is actually open-minded, she probably already knows what you want.
Yeah.
So the longer you wait, the longer it'll take for you to have more fun. So broach the subject, right?
Whew.
So thank you, Bunny, for joining me in this conversation.
Oh, you're welcome, my queen.
Yes. And just a reminder, if you want the vice, chastity device, that's what Bunny wears. And it's sonically welded. It's a medical grade polycarbonate. It's wonderful. So it is high quality. It's not just plastic, you know. Some people say...
I mean, I personally classify it in, a step above the CB6000.
Yeah, well, CB6000 is definitely not as durable. And and it's got that seam that's problematic too.
Yeah, I've split it.
Yeah, a lot of people have split that seam. So that's why when the vice is sonically welded, it's so wonderful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got it. It's very durable. And then to have the additional ring to the anti-slip out, like anti-pull out ring
is
amazing. Fabulous. So I do highly recommend it. I am an affiliate, but hey, you know what? I need to make money somehow, right? So when you go in and you get your 10% off discount using Chastity Queen, I get a small portion, not much, but it helps me to promote my podcast and continue on and to make a small living. So your purchasing a device is not only satisfying for yourself and your partner, a good Christmas gift as well. If you have a partner you want to lock up, get that device at lockedinlust.com for 10% off. And you can get 10% off of anything on that site as well. The crotch rocket is fabulous. That's what I used with Bunny to have him suck my cock. I put the strap on around my hips and a nice cock of my choice. You can slip it through the ring, any cock you like. Big, small, long, short, whatever. And go to it. Have fun. So that promo code is ChastityQueen, 10% off. And if you enjoy sex toys and sex, you know, sexy lingerie and vacuum, you know, penis vacuums and all that, you can go to the loveshop.ca. They've got amazing things there. And you can get 15% off with promo code ChastityQueen, and I benefit from that as well. So thank you so, so much. In the meantime, you can also look at my link tree, Chastity Queen, there. And until next time, say goodbye, bunny.
Bye.
And please drop a review if you enjoyed this podcast. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.